This morning, it's always great to be together, Father. We're so thankful, God, for who you are, for sending your son to die for us. And man, what a blessing it is to be able to be together as a family on Sunday morning. God, we're just so grateful for this time of year. It's always good to have Thanksgiving and Christmas and just those fun times with family. They're also great reminders, God, of who you are and the love that you had for us, and to be grateful and thankful for what we have. God, we pray this morning as we get into your word, God, that our hearts and minds would be able to just block out all the distractions and to zero in on what your word says, Father. God, you've given us all we need for life and godliness, and I pray that we can tap into those things right now, Father, to get connected with what it is your spirit wants us to see. We love you, praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to Psalm 37. We're going to be there here in just a little bit. But, you know, it's been, I've just gone through personally, just to share a little bit about my life. I've gone through some pretty tough times here recently, starting probably in about, you know, May until probably August. One of the roughest times I probably ever had as a Christian. You know, we had some job upheaval. I had to move. My family had a lot of things that happened that just made me kind of question myself, my identity. There was a lot of anxiety that kind of came out. Like, you know, what am I going to do? Where am I going to live? How am I going to make money? You know, how's my wife going to make money? We lost our jobs at the exact same time. I'll give you details later if you want to know, but... you know, it was super, super challenging. And I think when we get into times like those, it can really put a spotlight on areas of weakness in our lives and in our characters. And one of the things that came out for me for sure was that it is really, really hard for me to not be in control of what's going on. Now, I'm sure many of you can relate. If you can't, you're probably just disconnected, but I think we all have that in us, don't we? We want to control things. We want to have, you know, some of us are better than others. I think my wife's a great example of one who can just go along with things a little better than most, but I'm one of those men when it comes to, hey, who wants to drive? I'll drive, you know? Who wants to be in control? Me, you know? And that's my nature, but what I've come to learn as I've gotten older as a Christian, that being in control is a bad thing. Really, the only thing I need to control is myself. Everything else, I need to give up that control to God. Amen? But it's hard to do that. It's really challenging. You'd think as you get older, as you learn to trust God more, it'd be easier, but I guess as I'm getting older, it's become harder because God's just had to throw some things at me here to really help me to examine that in my heart. And so what I want to talk about this morning is two words that I think when we see them, some of us are going to be like, oh, yeah. Some of us are going to be like, oh, man, they're tough words to deal with. It's only two words, but they're powerful. It's something that God has mentioned many times, but something that we typically overlook. Kind of our brand of Christianity, so to speak, is totally against this most of the time. I think for the most part, at least for the culture of the ICOC churches, which we're a part of, we're goers and doers, which I think is great. We need to be. God tells us that we're His workmanship. We've been created to do good works. But there are also times for these two words. And I think, man, if we can learn this, if we can learn to put these two words into practice, it's going to change a lot. Those two words are be still. I tell you, through this challenge of my life, it's been one of the hardest things for me to do is just to be still. Because, man, the more haywire things get, the more we want to try to take control. And we don't understand that that's the problem. Part of the reason why it's so chaotic is because we're trying to take the wheel and we really don't know how to drive. Psalm 37, verse 1 is where we're going to start here. And what we're going to do is we're going to take a moment here to kind of, we're going to use this psalm as a basis, but we're going to take some time to break down this concept of being still. And then as we get a little bit further into the lesson, we're going to talk about some things that go into being still. But then we're going to, towards the end, we're going to kind of break down some of the phrases where God uses be still. And then when we wrap this all together, it's going to be encouraging for you, maybe a little convicting, but it's going to give you a good framework of here's how I can go after this. Amen. Psalm 37 verse 1, the Bible says, do not fret because of those who are evil or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Now, before we kind of get into this, because this psalm, it's good how this is kind of laid out. It gives us some good things here, but I want to talk about this concept of be still and kind of what it means from a biblical perspective. Two of the most powerful be stills is this one here in Psalm 37. There's also probably the most famous one is Psalm 46:10, but they actually both mean something a little bit different. The one over here in Psalm 37:7, if you literally translate it, means to be mute before God, to be quiet before God. That in itself, of someone like me who likes to talk, is super challenging. You tell me to go pray and I'll go pray. Tell me to read, I'll go read. But you say be quiet before God. Yikes. That's tough. But it's such a big concept for us to just sit and be mute before God. Psalm 46:10 goes even a little bit deeper because what it says and what it literally means is to drop it. Whereas the Holman Christian Standard says stop fighting. Isn't that something? Drop it. I've thought about that. How many times have I gone before God like a kid who's throwing a fit? Because I'm not getting what I want or it's not going the way I want it to. And I can just see, you know, maybe outside I don't look like this, but inside where God can see, I'm just kicking and screaming. I want this guy. Well, this isn't fair. Like those kids you see in Walmart, you know, sitting in the, you can hear them right when you walk in all the way across. Oh my gosh. I was in Walmart the other day and I could hear this kid. I mean, it was, oh my goodness. Poor parents, man. But stop fighting. Be mute. This kind of sets the framework for what I'm talking about when I'm talking about being still. And for those of us who are anxious by nature, it takes a lot for us to just be still before God. And I think there's times, lots of times, when maybe what we need to do is just be mute and stop fighting before God in our souls. Amen. Now, how do we do this? That's the question, right? And they give us, there's some steps in here, which is really cool. God gives us some stuff in this little section. The first thing is do not fret. What's fretting mean? Well, being angry, furious, burning, distressed, competing. That's what fretting is. And I think, man, what would happen? How would your life, I want you to ask this question. How would your life change if you stopped fretting? If you stopped worrying? How would it change? Worry is the silent killer of Christians. It's been said that worry is practical atheism. That when we worry, we stop believing, and I mean believe in the sense of a living belief, a working belief in God and who He is. But yet we don't treat worry like we do other sins. We say if someone is lusting or impure, we're like, they're in sin. But if someone is not being faithful to God or is worrying, oh, that's okay. That's understandable. It's really, what do we always say, right? Sin is sin. And worry, in a lot of cases, and I've seen this, this isn't universal, but I've seen this a lot, where guys will typically deal with lust, women will typically deal with worry. And it's kind of in the same category, in the sense of it's something that can really capture your heart and can really keep you from trusting in God and can really warp your perspective. When you're looking at things through the lens of worry, it corrupts everything. Guys and gals, our parenting, when we parent from worry or fear or fretting, what's that do to our kids? When we make decisions about our life, our jobs, our careers, what happens when we look at it through that lens? Well, what if? Well, what if? Well, can you make a good decision when you're in that mode? But many of us operate from that. Those are the roots. Now, some of us have grown up in some situations where it wasn't stable. And it's been tough. But when you come into God's kingdom, that changes everything. That's where we've got to stop the madness in a lot of ways and say, I'm not back there anymore. Where I am is in God's kingdom, which is stable. And I can't let this fretting get a hold of me. And when I see it, I need to confess it. It is sin. And I need to not fret. And I need to deal with whatever it is in my heart that's causing me to do this because it is warping my perspective. I think we also got to talk about surrender. 1 Peter chapter 5 says, humble yourselves therefore under God's mighty right hand that He may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Man, what I've learned more and more as I've gotten older is I need to be more concerned about surrendering than I am about trying to conquer. Because I grew up as a young man and came into the kingdom at 20 and man, I wanted to conquer. And I was going to, man, we were going to baptize the world for Christ. Now, we still need to have that mentality. But there was a little bit too much, at least from my perspective in my life, a little bit too much humanism going on. And it became about me and what I could do. And really what God is trying to say is, yeah, I want you to go because I tell you to go. Say, go make disciples. That doesn't mean sit there and wait for the fish to jump in the boat. That means, no, go out and throw the line in, throw the net in, go. But there's a part of my heart that needs to surrender, that God is in control. I can't just try to force things, but I got to surrender. I can't fret. And I need to surrender. Already you can see how being still, you know, you think of, you remove the fretting, you surrender, you can already start to sense, even in your soul a little bit, okay, this is what being still is, and it's kind of nice, right? Surrender, no fretting, it's kind of nice. You know, I think a lot about how much more prayer and meditation, specifically meditation, we need. You know, we talk about prayer and reading our Bibles pretty often, but what about meditation? Meditating on the Word. Meditating on God's greatness. Thinking about who He is. Colossians 3 says, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. What's that look like? Sometimes it may just be, you know what, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to memorize this scripture, and whenever I start getting stressed or anxious, I'm just going to camp out on this. I'm going to be still before God, and I'm going to take captive every thought and make it obedient. And I'm going to fight this fight. Because when my head's in the right place, it's going to help my heart be in the right place. I think there's another cool part to this. Take delight in the Lord, it tells us. Enjoy God. When's the last time you heard that from the pulpit? Enjoy God. God wants us to enjoy Him. He's provided all these things for our pleasure. And all these things for us so we can be happy. Yet so many of us walk around in guilt and worry and fear and all these things that God's given us so that we can enjoy them and so that we can take delight in Him become distractions. God gives you a gift because He wants you to see how much He loves you. Yeah. Think about when you give a gift away, and it's you've had those gifts, right? Those things you got where you're so excited to give it because you knew it was going to make somebody happy. I love Christmas for that. And I love when, oh my gosh, Brooklyn, our four-year-old, it is so cool to give her a gift. Oh my gosh! You know, it's like the greatest gift ever. And I love it. And because what's it do? That gift reflects the heart of the giver. And God's done that in so many ways for us. He says, I just want you to take delight in me and what I've done for you and my heart for you. And yet He becomes like a great boss to us. Great benefits, some vacation here and there. Does some good things for me, but we're not delighting in Him. When's the last time you just took some time to delight in God? Amen. Where you just went and praised Him. Where you just spent time in worship. Not just church. I'm talking about on your own. A lot of these psalms were written because it was whoever it was just taking time to delight. God, you were awesome. No one was around. No one was listening. It was like, God, you are amazing. You've done all these things for me. Take delight. How would that change? That will help you to be still in your heart before God when you take delight in God, because the focus is no longer you and your problems, but it becomes about the great I am. Amen? You know, during this time for me, I had a pretty significant period of time where I just felt like I couldn't pray. I had a hard time with prayer. Because for me, prayer's where it's at. My wife, it's reading. That's where she gets, you know, super connected with God. But for me, it's prayer. And when I felt like I couldn't pray, I'm like, now what? And you know what I learned to do in this time is I got my headphones on, got some of my favorite worship music, and I just listened to it on the way to work. And in that time where my heart was stirring and there were things coming out, and it was hard to deal with, and I felt disappointed and discouraged, but all that was going through my mind and through my ears is, God is awesome. Jesus is amazing. And when I finally started kind of getting on my feet again, I felt a deeper love for Jesus than I ever had before. Because my mind, I was like, I'm having trouble praying, but you know what? I'm going to fill my head with the goodness of Jesus, because I know that. That's my anchor no matter what. My wife says this all the time. It was her anchor, and I stole her anchor. Because I'm like, that's a good one. But God is good no matter what. All this stuff's going on around me. I'm discouraged. My life is in turmoil. But God is good no matter what. That doesn't change. All my circumstances don't change who God is. The sin of the world doesn't change who God is. God's good no matter what. And when I could just sit on that, and that felt like that was all I could do, but it got me through. I didn't lose my faith. In fact, my faith's stronger now. And I learned how to worship. Man, taking delight in God, even in hard times, it's good for our soul. Amen? Amen. A couple more pieces to this. Commit your way. It says that here in Psalm 37, commit your way. What's that really mean? I think it's just putting everything at the feet of God. What's keeping you from being still? What are the things that come up when I think, well, I need to be still, but what things are coming up that's going to keep me from being still? I've got to commit my way to God in those. Whatever it is that's coming up, God, I'm going to do it your way. Sometimes the reason why we can't be still is it's just because we've made bad decisions that have caused us to get in this problem in the first place. And maybe what we need to do is just take a few steps back and say, you know what? I'm going to commit my way to God this time. So many times in the Bible, we see it especially in the Old Testament. So many different people who, when they sought input from godly people, or they prayed, or they committed, here's what, God, we're praying this right now. Here's what we're going to do, but we're praying right now. Guide us. When they did that, it went well. When they didn't, it went bad. What about us? Some of what's keeping us from being still is we just haven't committed our way to God. We're trying to live life the way we think it should be done, not the way God says. But when we make that decision, oh, God, it's so much easier to be still in our hearts, to be at peace when we commit our way to God. And the last one here in this part is trust in Him. Trust in Him. I want to ask you this question. Who's more trustworthy than God? Got any answers? No one. No one ever has been, no one ever will be more trustworthy than God. Yet, why, and I'm putting myself in this, why do we find it so hard to trust God? I think sometimes we trust humans more than we trust God, which is crazy when you really think about it, right? It's like, why would I trust that person who is flawed versus the perfect Father? But when we can get to that part, I think this is probably one of the biggest pieces to being still, is I'm just going to trust God. Not even going to pray about it, not going to study it out, I'm just going to trust God. Because I know what the Scriptures say. And I know He knows what's on my heart. I'm just going to trust God. Wow, wouldn't that be something if we could do that? If we could get our hearts there, wouldn't it? Now, sometimes we just need to battle in prayer. Sometimes I got to go in and study it out. But wouldn't it be great to just be able to go, I know what the Bible says. I know God's awesome. I'm just going to trust that it's going to happen. What? That's like next level. It's like disciple 2.0. So we got all this stuff, right? This can get us to being still, but then God can add some little rocks to this whole thing, right? Because one of the things He says within there is He says, be still, but then He says, and, as if being still wasn't, we just looked at, that's hard. As if that wasn't hard enough, I'm going to add a little piece to you here. Wait patiently. Be still and wait patiently for Him. One of the biggest temptations when we're waiting patiently is to think that God just disconnected from the conversation. To feel like He just forgot. That He's absent and He's uninterested. And, you know, I'm waiting. Where is it? Man, the society we live in right now, that is probably one of the biggest challenges, right? To wait. Because we can get whatever we want pretty fast. I get on Amazon, I'm a Prime member, so I get something in 2 days, sometimes in one. It's cool. I'll have to go to the store and dig through stuff. I just Boom, it's there. Awesome. We're so conditioned by our society, though, that waiting patiently for God, who a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years is like a day. Shoot. That's hard, right? But there's so much to that, that if we can wait patiently and realize that He's always there. One of my favorite stories, the road to Emmaus. Two guys are walking along, right? And this stranger comes walking up and they're like, man, this stinks. Jesus died and it's all over, you know. And he's like, stranger, tell me more, you know. The whole time it's Jesus. Now it says they were kept from recognizing him. I don't know what that means. I'll have to ask some of the scholar guys in here what that means. I don't know. But the point, whether they were kept from recognizing him, whatever, he was right there. And we operate in life so much like that. We're walking along, dude, we're sitting there talking to Jesus. Dude, where are you? And I'm right here. Well, Jesus, no, I'm here. I've been working all the time. You just got to wait patiently. Your time is coming. Man, I got so much going on right now. There is a web. All this stuff's working together. Just wait. I can't give it to you right now. I want to. I will. Just not right now. And when you get it, you'll see. When you get it, you'll see. Have you ever got something that you waited on patiently for God and go, well, it's about time? Maybe you have, and that's, you might need to check your heart, right? But most of the time, what do? Right, yeah. It was perfect timing. Praise God. He knows exactly what he's doing. Isaiah 30, verse 18 tells us, you can just write this one down. It says, yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore, he will rise up to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him. Isaiah 64, another great one here. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you. As when fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil, come down to make your name known to your enemies and cause the nations to quake before you. For when you did awesome things that we did not expect, you came down and the mountains trembled before you. Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. You come to the help of those who gladly do right, who remember your ways. Over and over again, this is just two verses in Isaiah, but over and over again through the Bible, he says, just wait for me. Be still and wait. I got this. You don't need to fret. You don't need to conquer. You don't need to freak out. I got you. Just wait. Another favorite verse of mine is Isaiah 55:8. His ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not your thoughts. We got to remember this when we're waiting. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. God's operating on a different level than we are. And just trusting in that. When I remember this verse, I go, oh, okay, calm down. God sees the end of this story. He saw the beginning. He's seen it all. He's got it. And he loves me, so I'm good to go, right? Waiting patiently before the Lord because he's got it. Turn over to Psalm 46 because this is that next little part here. And this is what we're going to add on. You guys still with me? Amen. So Isaiah 46, 1 through 11. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done. The desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shield with fire. Here it comes. He says, be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Another little building block for us, right? Be still and know that I am God. That's like the drop the mic part. Boom! Right? I am God. He's saying, be still and know that I'm God. In other words, be still and know that I'm in control of it all. Stop fighting, drop it, and know that I've got it. Be still before me. Allay your frustrations. Get rid of your fretting. Stop your worrying. Stop your fighting. I've got it because I'm God. I created all this. I set it all into motion. I know how it all works. There's nothing I haven't seen. There's nothing that's going to trip me up. I'm not taking days off. I don't take vacation. I don't go to sleep. I'm involved all the time, 24/7, and I got it. I got it. So what are you worried about? I'm God. Oh, you got that problem? I'm God. Oh, that sounds, wow, that's, whew, I don't know how to solve that one. No, it's God. You could sit down and tell your crazy life story, which some of us have some. And you know what God would say? Yeah, I know, I saw it. And I know exactly how it's going to end. And I know exactly what needs to be done. Just be still. I got it. I got you this far, didn't I? Most people didn't think you were going to make it. Look where you are right now. Was that because of you? No, it's because of me, because I'm God. He's got it. All those things, all those fears, all that stuff. Sometimes I think we got to take a moment just to step back and remember what God's done. Man, it's easy to remember your defeats, isn't it? Isn't it easy to remember all the ways that you've been disappointed? But how hard is it sometimes to remember all the great things God has done? And I think sometimes we need to sit down, and Thanksgiving's a perfect time. Just sit down and think about and write down all the ways you've seen God come through in your life. And all the ways you've seen God come through in other people's lives. And I bet if we took some time one day and said, just let people come up here one by one and share, you'd be amazed. I didn't know God did that for them. Oh yeah, I forgot about that. But God's done so many things. There's so many stories just in this room of what God's done that it would blow you away and build your faith beyond belief. But we forget. We're so focused on all those bad things or the challenges that are going on. And God says, I'm God. I had it before. I got it now. Just wait. I've got it. When we have God on our side, it's like going into a fist fight with these two on your side. All the guys that are comic nerds like myself, I get several rebukes because they're like, that's DC and Marvel. You're mixing universes. I'm like, you're right. I did mix universes. But wouldn't it be cool to have Superman and Incredible Hulk on your side? It's like that with God, except even better. When God's with you, you can be still. You know, I thought of this morning. I hadn't thought about this before, but I thought of this morning when I was praying and spending some time with God. I thought of that movie. I don't know if you remember the Star Wars movie that came out, The Phantom Menace. And it was one of the, yeah, it's bad, you know. Not as bad as Attack of the Clones, but it's bad. But there's an awesome scene at the end where Qui-Gon Jinn and Obi-Wan, they go to fight Darth Maul, who's just cool looking, you know. the red horns and this double lightsaber and all this. And there's this one moment, this energy shield thing kind of cuts off Qui-Gon Jinn and Darth Maul from fighting. And he just has to wait. And he gets down like in this, he gets down and kind of like meditates. And Darth Maul's like walking back and forth like a lion. He's like, he's just waiting. He's like, oh, come on, come on. Qui-Gon's just down there like that. And I was like, that's the picture of being still. That's the picture of being still. Satan is prowling around like a roaring lion, waiting for someone to devour. And disciples goes, we got God on our side. We just, we want to fight. Come on, Satan. I got you, man. Come, let's go. Instead of going, God's got this. How many times did God produce the victory before the troops even got there? That's what he wants to do in your life. You just got to be still. I want to remind us of a fact here before we close out. Amen. Romans chapter 8. This is my last part here. Last scripture. But I want to remind you of this, because this is the basis of it all. Amen. Romans 8, 28 through 39. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Knowing all these things, we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither life, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Be still. God that loves you, and there's nothing that can separate you from that love. And because of that love, he's going to work in your life. And you need not fret. You need not worry. You need not get all riled up. There's all kinds of things going in our world right now that are crazy. There's division all over the place. There's scary stuff going on out there. But you know what? Like Qui-Gon in front of doggone Darth Maul, you can stop and be still, because God's on your side. And if he's on your side, who could be against you? Nothing. Brothers and sisters and friends, this is a big key to seeing our Christianity, our connection with God, really turn for a good push, when we can be still. Can fight all day long. Sometimes we'll win, sometimes we'll lose. But how about just being still? Allowing our hearts and souls just to be before God. Be quiet, drop it, be mute, wait patiently, and know that the God of all creation has got it. When we do that, when we can learn to do that, and it'll be hard, but when we can fight that battle and learn to do it, and surrender our hearts to God, it's going to change the ball game. And we'll see some amazing things happen. And we'll see our hearts more at peace than we ever thought possible. Amen. Amen. To God be the glory.